Blog Talk Radio.
August 1st, 2020, and of course you are listening to Horse Racing Today. I am Eddie the Hat. I'll be taking us the 30 minutes, and of course we have Hondo in studio with us. Hondo, how are you this morning?
I'm great.
And we are ready to rock and roll, folks. We got some awesome, epic races, not only at Del Mar this weekend, but also at Saratoga. We're going to get to that. We have a special guest, as promised. And we're going to get to him shortly because he's got a hell of a story that we're going to hear from him. And let's hop right to it. And, Hondo, let's real quick because we're going to fly out of the gate this morning just like they do at Los Al with the quarter horses. Let's get to the races at Saratoga today. And it all starts, I believe, with the Personal Ensign, the fifth race at Saratoga. And, Hondo, what do you think about this race?
Fifth race, we get to see the great Midnight Bisou again. It'll be her third race of the year. Of course, she ran second in her last race to Maximum Security in the inaugural Saudi Cup. And so she's going to continue on her way to the Breeders' Cup, which will either be the classic this year against the boys, or another try at the distaff where she finished second last year. Owner Jeffrey Bloom hasn't committed either way yet, but I'm thinking that if she progresses from here to the Breeders' Cup unscathed and she continues to dispatch her other female competitors, that I think they are going to take a try in the classic. That's just my guess, but we'll see what happens.
And her main point of contention will be from Point of Honor, the 5-2 second choice
right
in the Personal Ensign. Then we are going to go to the ninth race out at Saratoga. This, of course, is the Grade 1 Whitney Stakes. And here, we have Bob Baffert's Improbable, Code of Honor, and Tom's the Tot. I guess that's how you pronounce that name. And that is, of course, the Whitney, also run at Saratoga. And then finally, wrapping up, we have the 10th race, the Alan Jerkins, another Grade 1 $300,000 race. And, of course, this will feature, Eight Rings is the local horse, kind of a wide-open race, the Jerkins.
Yeah, full field of 11. You get, you get Doug O'Neill runner in here too. The long shot, the 9 horse, Liam's Pride at 20-1. A lot of local eyes will be on that horse. But that's an interesting race, full field. And four graded stakes at Saratoga today, and 3 of them are Grade 1 events.
All right, and let's go to my favorite part of the day, the Torrey Holistics leaderboard. I wish I had some holistics right now. I could use them. Hey, you know what? We kind of get some relief from the bottle here, so that helps. The jockey standings, as they are through today, we have Umberto Rispoli with 15, Flavian Pratt with 14, Abel Cedillo with 10, and then we have Juan Hernandez, Tiago Pereira with 7, Ricky Gonzalez with 5, and then we have Drayden Van Dyke, Alberto Figueroa, and Kent DeSormo. Drayden, get going, buddy. I pumped you hard before the Del Mar meeting, buddy. I thought you were going to have a great meeting. Break out. Get going. There's still time. As far as the trainers go, we have Peter Miller leading the way with 9, Richard Baltas with 4, Mike McCarthy with 4. Good to see Mike McCarthy having a strong meeting, Hondo.
Yeah, he's really picked it up this year, and he's you know, the former assistant to Todd Fletcher is really having a great year so far.
Peter Erden also with 4, and then we have several with 3. They are Bob Baffert, Doug O'Neill, Mark Platt, Simon Callahan, and Eric Kruljack, my Jimmy O's buddy, my martini buddy from years past. So congratulations to everybody whose name was mentioned. You're having a good meeting, and you're off to a good start.
And real quick, mentioning going back to Drayden Van Dyke, boy, did he have a brutal beat yesterday.
Huh.
In that 7th race with a quick finish, who was a 6-1 shot, just got nailed right on the wire.
Yeah, it had to have been, because I watched that race and I was pulling for him. Like I said, I've been hyping him all meeting at the end of Los Al that he was going to have a breakout meeting and he was going to really come into it. And hasn't, you know, there's time, you know, left. But yeah, that was heartbreaking, especially if you had that, you know. If you had him. I think, 6-7-1?
6-1.
Yeah. All right, real quick, let's go over today's races at Del Mar. And it doesn't take us long to get to the action. We have the shared belief. Kind of hard to believe that Derby points are actually in play in August, but they are. And Uncle Chuck, was he scratched? I've heard rumors that he was going to be taken out of this race.
Yeah, he's going to go in the in the Traverse Stakes on August 8th. So he needs he's going to be scratched along with the three horse, and Oro de Oro. He's going to go in the Ellis Park Derby on August 9th. He's going to be scratched too. It is
Oro de Oro coming off of a scratch. I believe at Los Alamitos was an illness. Just
right, the Los Al, the Derby of the Los Al Derby, yeah.
Yeah, and Uncle Chuck probably is going to be out. We have 1,000 words on Kiss Today Goodbye, Honor AP, and Suzanne. So basically the nucleus of the contenders are still left intact there. But disappointed that Uncle Chuck, we're not going to see him, because I think that horse has got a hell of a future ahead of him. Then we're going to turn over to the 8th race. This is the CTBA Cowbred race. We have Big Andy, Governor Got Even, Reign of Fire, Righteously, Jasmine Chieftain, Love Wins, and the big favorite, I'm So Anna, drawn on the outside. Big Andy is listed as a maiden still, but don't forget he did win his debut and was DQ'd. Out of that race, he kind of did a little stutter step at the eighth pole. Got taken down for that. And then the big one of the day, the Bing Crosby, the grade one $250,000 race. And this race, of course, featured McKenzie, who I also believe, I heard this morning, is going to be declared.
Yes, he's going to be declared, and they're either looking at the Pat O'Brien later in the meeting, an extra furlong for him to close into, or he might also go in the Woodward.
Okay.
So Baffert is undecided about those two races.
Also keep an eye, folks, on PR Radio Star. He's cross-entered. He's in for tomorrow, so we don't know what's going to happen with him. Collusion Illusion, the 3-year-old, the promising son of Twirling Candy. We know that the barn is real high on him and facing older, but hey, he's done it before. So, and he's 9-2 in the morning line. So, good racing all across the country today. And of course, we've left out some other feature races, but Saratoga and Del Mar is definitely where it's at. All right, now we're going to bring on our special guest. And we have with us this morning Jarek Ello, who is a apprentice jockey and exercise rider at Del Mar. Jarek, you've got quite a past. How did you get involved in the game? What were you doing before you wanted to become a jockey?
First, I was in the military. I was stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I was an airborne paratrooper, and my MOS was a field artillery radar operator. So I was tracking artillery rounds, planes, and small firearms while at Bragg. And at the same time, I was jumping out of planes.
Yeah. Now, I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, but when I was researching you when we had our Q&A with you a couple weeks back, that you had problems landing because you floated in the air?
That's correct. I was at least 125 pounds at the time, and then my ruck was at least 25 to 30 pounds, and I would have to stuff maybe like a medicine ball just to make it a little bit heavier just so I can land, but I was still up in the air for like a minute or two.
The elevation
that we jumped out of was just like 1,200 feet. So
when I read that, I must have laughed for 5 minutes because I can imagine that. And first of all, I've always said that jockeys have to be crazy to do what they do. And now we know that you are certifiably crazy because not only are you a jockey, but you were jumping out of airplanes.
Yeah, you get that adrenaline rush. At the time, they were it was $150 actually per month for airborne qualified soldiers. So I think that it was a fun experience.
Wow! And they gave you $150 a month to do that.
Yes, to keep your airborne status. Yeah.
Okay. Well, geez. And Hondo, do you have any questions for Jarek?
Yeah, Jarek, how old are you?
I'm 27 right now.
27. Okay. And what got you interested in the ponies? Why do you want to be a jockey?
Oh, I think just growing up, I was playing sports. I was too small to be a baseball player or basketball player, and I think I wrestled in high school. But after that, I really didn't know what I would be doing after graduation. So when I enlisted, I was always active. But at the time, I just knew I just wanted to do something with sports or something. I got into horse racing. That's when I started getting into it, and I found school in Lexington. And I just started from there. After my active duty enlistment, I just used the GI Bill to go to school and learn the skill set to be a horseman.
Were you, did you go to the racetrack before you decided you wanted to do this, or how did you find horse racing as a sport that you liked?
Honestly, I think of just betting with my father and my grandpa, but I rarely went to the racetrack. I knew I would watch like the Kentucky Derby and just like the big races that they have at NBC and stuff. And I think I just did a lot of research as far as like going online and then getting into the track, because I honestly was coming out from no experience or no background with horses or in the racing industry at all. And it just did a lot of research, and somehow I just found my way in.
How did you do in your betting? Are you a good handicapper?
Yeah, I'm terrible.
My father and my grandpa,
they like to bet the pick six and stuff. I think I get it from them. They're also terrible as well.
Well, you're on the right show, because we give out a lot of losers here. So. Yeah, that's, it's funny because, a lot of people think that jockeys come from a family that's in the industry, and a lot of them do. But, every now and then there seems to be guys that David Moussad is one of them. Vinnie Bednar, who rides at quarter horses and thoroughbreds at Los Alamitos and the circuit, he was actually working in construction. And one of his coworkers came up to him and said, "Dude, you're so small, you ought to be a jockey." And he looked into it, and here he is riding horses. So it is really, really, a lot of stories on how people get involved are, very interesting. So.
Now, Jarek, you have a 10-pound bug, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And how many races have you ridden in so far?
So far, just 19 overall. I started last September.
Okay. And who in the mornings, who have you mostly been working horses for? What barns?
I'm with the Peter Miller barn.
Okay.
And, yes, and mostly in San Luis Rey. And then I was in the East Coast with his string last year, and then now I'm here with him at Del Mar.
Okay, well, that's certainly a good barn to be into. He's got a lot of winners.
Oh, yeah, he has a lot of horses, definitely.
Yeah, yes.
All right, we're gonna take a time out. I'm getting beeped here, so we need to give everybody the advertising that they need to get out and pay some bills. And this is your cue, folks. Go refresh that adult beverage of choice that I know you're sipping on. Come back with more from Jarek Ello and some more horse racing today. Don't go far away. Special guest, and Jarek, what's a typical day for you? What time do you get up? What do you do, and all that? You're still relatively young at 27. I wish I was 27 again, but kind of partying at night and all that good stuff doesn't really go with being a jockey, does it?
Oh no, those days are gone for me. I think I go to bed early, wake up early. Usually my time starts at 4 a.m. That's when I get up, and then I head to the track. That's when I start off at Miller's Barn, and then they start at 4:30. And
4:30.
From there, yes.
Now, is it even – well, I know there's a lot of preparation and everything because they got to get the horses, you know, saddled and, you know, ready and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's not even light at 4:30.
No, I think it's still dark out on the road, which is, the good thing is there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, I thought 5:30 was early for me, but, you know, I've heard, you know, that, Hondo Bill Sparrow, what is he starts working his – galloping his horses.
Oh gosh, 3:30. It's crazy. I could never be a horse person.
Bill says he likes galloping him in the dark. So I think that might be why occasionally he'll sneak one in at $20 or $30.
Now, Jarek, correct me if I'm wrong. You're still looking for your first win, right?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, are you ready for that ceremonial hazing that the other jockeys will give you when you get that first win?
Oh, I've always been waiting on that. But the thing is, I wonder if they'll be doing it 6 feet away with all this protocol.
That's true.
But, I guess they can just dump and throw things at me or something.
Maybe it's better if you hold off then and until things get back to normal. I mean, what's it like being, you know, at the track in the afternoon and not have any fans?
Oh, it's weird. It's kind of like a morning work, but with other horses. I mean, the weather's hot, but as far as that, it's kind of eerie. It's like get on top of the stretch and you don't hear anything. You just hear the pounding of the hooves and jockeys. It's a little quiet environment.
Right after they shut things down, a Golden Gate jockey told me that he said, you know, this is kind of cool because I don't have people heckling me and cussing me out. walking back to the jocks room. But then about 2 weeks later, he said, you know, I don't like this because the hecklers, they get under your skin, but they also give you motivation. You know, they kind of, you know, pump you up, you know. So it's got to be tough.
Jerick, I wanted to ask you what, you know, a lot of young riders, when they come up, they kind of they either have a role model, a jockey that they've kind of looked up to, or kind of become friends and close to them and learn some of the plies of the trade through them. I know that Drayden Van Dyke kind of formed a pretty close relationship with Mike Smith. And is there any jockeys currently that you've kind of gotten close to or look up to as kind of a role model?
That's a very good question because, you know, I've always been looking up to the old school riders. I like Pat Day, and I like Lafitte Pinkai. But recently, since I've been getting my license, I've been watching a lot of videos. But I've been with the Miller Barn a lot, and he has, like, a really good exercise rider named Gilbert Estrella. He's been helping me out. I've been watching film. And he was an ex-jockey. Miller has also been helping me a lot. He's been telling me to handicap my races and watch a lot of film. So it's just my barn that I have has been helping me grow. And as far as that, I think just learning and listening and just being a sponge has helped me become a better rider overall.
Right. Have you ever gotten a chance yet to meet Lafitte Pinkai in person?
Well, I've seen pictures. I know my grandpa has a picture with him.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
yeah.
I've only just on film.
Right, right.
You going to see Drayden Van Dyke today, Jerick?
Oh, yeah, I will on TVG, I'm sure.
Oh, all
right. Watching.
Okay, I thought, okay, all right. I was going to tell you to tell him to get going.
Oh.
He's one of my favorite jockeys, and I love watching him ride. And he's got a hell of a future ahead of him, and JC Diaz too.
Jerick, you know we have a lot of bettors, people who like to lay $2 or $4 or $5 on horses, and you've galloped a lot for Peter Miller. Any names you want to throw out there for maybe the listeners, horses to look out for in the future? Any that have really impressed you?
Yesterday you had El Tigre, who just won the that stakes race yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, that I have in mind, I like Texas. Oh wait, no, he doesn't have Texas Legend here. He's on the East Coast, but. Oh, honestly, all his horses. Just handicap all his horses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty tough to throw out any of his horses in a race. Yeah.
Yeah, he is, Peter Miller, he's good with young guys, you know, up-and-coming, you know, jockeys and everything. I think he's one of the guys on the backside that gives youngsters a chance. Wouldn't you agree with that, Jerick?
Oh, definitely. He's very strict with keeping his barn organized. And what I really like that because it's helping me be more aware and be more mindful as far as the horseman, you know, just everything as far as, like, checking your tack, getting your times down, breathing these horses, taking care of these horses. It just starts from the ground and just taking care of these horses and helping them win and taking them to the winner's circle and making sure they come back healthy and getting ready for the next goal. I just think that his barn is helping me improve a lot, and that's why I'm just here and staying here and learning.
Right. Now, you went to the Chris McCarron Riding School, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay. What was that like? I mean, obviously, you know, being a paratrooper, you were used to, you know, adrenaline and all of that. But what was it like the first time you got up on a horse?
Oh, the adrenaline was still there. I just didn't have the coordination to move a horse. You know, I just didn't have no knowledge. I have no experience. And just being at that environment helped me. It's like a stepping stone, and it helped me grow. So that school was very beneficial as far as, like, if for someone that didn't have any background with horses, I think it's great to just come in and learn. But, I mean, instead of getting paid to muck stalls, I pay the school to muck stalls.
Right. And now, I'm sure that Chris has a lot of people working for him at the school. Did you ever get a chance to meet Chris personally?
Yeah, I did. We did some equisizer work. But at the time, I think he was pretty busy with his grandkids. But he comes in once in a while, and he helps out. We watch film, and he helped me, like, on the equisizer. I would see him on the track. I think one time I saw him at Del Mar, but this was a few years back.
And have you seen films of him when he was in action as a jockey?
Oh, yeah. I think he took us to the Kentucky Derby Museum. It has all the archives, the highlights of all his races. And, yeah, and it's amazing to just see that level of riding. And just, I can't believe it. It's still awe.
Yeah, he was an incredible rider. There's no doubt about that. Shoemaker,
yeah.
Pinkai, that was a hell of a, you know.
That was a golden era.
He certainly was, you know, even, you know, Daryl McHarg, Fernando Toro on the lawn.
Eddie D.
Alvaro Pineda, you know, before his tragic, you know, accident. Yeah, Delahousse, I mean, you know, yeah, just unbelievable. And Chris McCarron certainly was one of the best. There's no doubt about that. So I'm sure you've got a solid foundation and everything. Derek, what are your goals? What is some of the things you want to accomplish?
Oh, I definitely want to be in this industry for a while, and whether it be exercise riding or even riding. And I would like to get my bug started one day, but being here in California and just exercise riding for one of the top barns, you know, it's already a good accomplishment in my eyes, and I just think I love being on a horse. That's all. And I've been taking some classes online just to keep up with my education. I took a nutrition class just recently, and other than that, my goals are just to stay healthy and just take it day by day.
There you go.
Do you ever see yourself, if you want to get your bug career started, moving to a smaller track to get started, or are you hell bent on wanting to stay here in Southern California?
That would definitely be an option if I ever get the opportunity to go out and be a big fish in a small pond. That'd be awesome, you know. But you know, I respect all riders, and I think wherever I can succeed, that would be an awesome experience.
Right. All right. Well, we 30 minutes goes by quick, and I want to thank Jarek for joining us. Jarek, we'll certainly have you on again, we'll have you on when you get your first win.
Oh man, thanks Eddie for having me. Thank you, Andre.
All right.
It was our pleasure, Jarek.
Thanks, Jarek.
And folks, we're going to be back with you tomorrow night for At the Wire. And we're going to be giving you some horses that have run over the weekend, trips and trouble notes and whatnot. And that airs from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. Again, thanks to Jarek Ello, Hondo. And folks, you got some business to attend to. Cash some tickets. And we hope that I can't say it right now. I always like to say I hope to bump into you in the cashier's line, but, well, we'll be doing it on the Internet. So good luck, and we'll be talking to you soon.